Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We'll be looking at tonight Mark 6, verses 31 to 44. Now, I want to say this at first. We are going through the miracles recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If I were to ask and say, what is the only miracle that is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The only one. This is big. It's big. And it has more details because there's four witness accounts. If we had an accident out here and you only had two people come up to me and say, here's what happened, here's what happened, versus four coming up to you and saying, here's what happened, I was over there, I was over there, I was over there, you'd have a lot more details. And that's what we end up with, is a lot of details in this account. Okay? Because of the four witness accounts that we have. So, we're going to be basing on Mark, but then we'll be referring some to the other accounts from the New Testament. Okay, Mark chapter 6, 31 to 44. Hear now the word of God. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives by the Holy Spirit. I put the feeding of the 5,000 and then men in parentheses, which is more than 5,000 people that were there if you account many wives and children. In our world, food is a common problem. Food and hunger is a problem for many parts of the world today. In a textbook that I've used in a college class on environmental conservation, they estimate that there's over 1 billion people on the planet that live on less than $1 a day in the world. Over 1 billion people that live on less than $1 a day. Food and hunger is a big problem. But what's a bigger problem? Are countless people with hungry hearts, minds, and souls. I was reading recently from Martin Lloyd-Jones in Preaching and Preachers, lectures he gave at Westminster Theological Seminary in 1969. And he says in there that the liberals kind of look at a text like this and say the primary thing Christ cares about is feeding the hungry. And a social gospel is what the liberals have. And in his book on Preaching and Preachers, he says that the greatest and highest calling is to preach and teach God's truth. And that's what this text is actually primarily about. It's not that caring for one's physical needs is unimportant. It's good, but it's not the best. We know that Jesus in Matthew 24 said that he who has done it unto the least of these has done it unto me. Caring, giving a cold drink of water, clothing, food, etc. But what is primary is satisfying spiritual hunger in Christ. That is primary. And Lloyd-Jones uses this text, among many, to say that God's word, truth from God, about Christ is primary. It's the primary need we all have. So I hope to bring that out as we go through this too. I had written my notes before reading what Lloyd-Jones had on it, but I thought it was fascinating. So this is the outline: neglected sheep, short-sighted disciples, a glorious shepherd, and a satisfied people. On the neglected sheep in verses 31 to 34, we know that when you say, when did this take place? John chapter 6 verse 4 says that the Passover was near. We know from what we just read in verses 31 to 32 that they left in a boat in the Sea of Galilee to find rest. They'd been very busy around Capernaum. We have seen Jesus do many miracles, do a lot of teaching around Capernaum. And he traveled an estimated 4 to 5 miles. And we know the distance because of where they were. And Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 10, provides where they went. Bethsaida, around the area of Bethsaida, along the Sea of Galilee. Now, the people, as we see, could see them from shore and were running along and beat them to where they were going. Well, they were headed to a deserted place in verse 32. Yes?
In Matthew 14, that other account, John the Baptist had just been beheaded.
Correct. Even in here, he did.
What?
In Mark, he just got beheaded too before. Maybe a little. But the reason, what reason does he give us in the text? He's going to rest from a busy, right? Yes. Yeah. I mean, John the Baptist looked at Herod and said, it's not lawful to you to have your brother's wife. I mean, he was real blunt, and we'd say, under what law? Under what law? It was legal under their own legal system. So he spoke God's law to Herod. So certainly, but Herod enjoyed listening to him. It says Herod got joy out of listening to John the Baptist, which is why he didn't want to put him to death. It was his wicked wife and daughter. But, you know, could that be part of it? Yeah, it could. The timing of it. We don't know, actually, I don't think, on that, if it says exactly on that.
Well, Luke 13:31, and that very day some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, get out the first thing into here upon the city, and he said to them, we'll tell that fox.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's afraid of them at all.
No.
And I don't think he... Yeah. I think here, though, he wants to go to a deserted place for this particular miracle, and we'll see that from John.
Well, yeah, there's more than one purpose here.
I don't know. Yeah, I can see. I just don't see it as a primary reason. And nothing theological stands on it, really, because Herod couldn't have touched him if Jesus didn't want it, if God the Father didn't want it, even if he stayed there. I mean, technically. Verse 33, we saw that people came from all directions. People came from all directions. Now, it says, moved with compassion. Look at verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And you say, well, what did he do? He's moved with compassion. What did he begin doing? He began to teach them many things. Matthew 9:36 kind of has the same thing, where his general assessment of the people, the multitudes, that they were weary and scattered, not being taught God's truths. That the primary need is satisfying spiritual hunger in Christ, being taught. Now, Luke 9:11 adds that he also healed many, in Luke 9:11. And this is what Lloyd-Jones points out, is we must remember, is Acts 2:22, there's three words in the Greek for miracles, power, signs, and wonders. With signs, that they're pointing to who Christ is as King of Kings, because one of the things that he taught them was about the kingdom of God, according to Luke chapter 9:11. Who's the king of the kingdom of God? It's really the essence of the reign and rule of God. Jesus is the King of Kings. And it's pointing to who he is, as the eternal Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So the miracles, the healings, feeding of the 5,000 men, is not the primary. It's a sign. That's another way of saying the same thing, is it's a sign that points to the primary meaning of who he is. Why any miracle would be done is pointing to the primary reason, and is to reveal who he is as the eternal Son of God, the King of Kings. Certainly Christ cares about our souls and our bodies. But he cares if we're tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine, if we're not being taught God's truths. Next, the short-sighted disciples. Thank you. you think of verses 35 to 38 on the short-sighted disciples, Christ had prepared his disciples for this miracle. And he set a test before them. And that's why he literally went to this deserted place to test what their focus would be. Are they walking by faith in him or by physical sight and circumstances? In John, turn over to John 6, verse 5. It says, then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Look at verse 6. But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew what he would do. He had this all planned out. That's why they went to this area of Bethsaida in a deserted region. He had it all planned out, a place where there wouldn't be much food, much to eat. But he's testing. This is what a lawyer would call a leading question because it's almost putting words into the person. What did Jesus say there? Where shall we buy bread? You're getting the person you're asking to think about money. That's quite a test. It's quite a test. It's not just saying, how should we feed them? No, he's actually asking a question that turns him a bit away toward walking by physical sight rather than faith. Now, look at verse 7 of John 6. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. That every one of them may have a little. Look at verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here, a boy, who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? What are they among so many? Turn back to Mark chapter 6. And see the way the disciples spoke here in verse 36. So we have Philip and we have Andrew and what they said in John 6. And then look at Mark 6:36. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding countries and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. So the disciples are saying, send them away. Andrew's like, what is this? A little boy with 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 small fish. I love the way that's stated. He doesn't even just say 2 fish. But he says 2 small fish in John 6:9. So it's stressed, not even the small amount of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but 2 small fish. And what are they? Well, the disciples then are saying, send them away. Look at verse 37 of Mark 6. But Jesus answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? Still thinking in terms of money, denarii, in terms of money. Think of, with verse 37, Mark 6, 37, of 1 Timothy 6, 17. We're to fix our hope not on money, on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. They were not looking to Christ, but they were still looking to money. So in Mark 6:38, look at Mark 6:38, Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, five and two fish. And we know it was five barley loaves and two small fish, according to Andrew. So we think of Christ versus circumstances. And we walk by faith, not by sight. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. Now, there's another example where Pastor Ron's given the quote from George Mueller, where faith begins. What? Human ability ends, right? Is when faith begins.
Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible.
But it's with missionary planning. But it's a principle of faith all the time. Is where human ability ends, faith begins. And it's true at all times. It's true with the faith we initially put in Christ for justification. What? I can't save myself. Human ability ends. So guess what? I rest in Jesus and Jesus alone to be right with God in his righteousness. Sanctification, same thing. John 15:5, apart from Christ, I can do nothing. How am I supposed to live? The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me, Galatians 2:20. We are not to be thinking about what we're able to do in our own abilities or with money, but what God can do at all times. How much, though, do we see ourselves like Philip and Andrew? When we look at what our own abilities, our own money can buy. We look at our problems. We want to send them, God to send them away. Rather than how God can glorify himself through these problems. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly above and beyond all that we ask or think. Amen to that. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. Think of one miracle early in his ministry. We didn't cover it because it's in John. We're going through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but where it's dealing with something we put in our stomach. Jesus turning water into wine. John chapter 2, 1 through 12. Five loaves, two fish, two small fish, water, nothing to drink. And as Pastor Ron said, you think of the Israelites. I had it in my notes too. I mean, they should be thinking back. Jesus is the Christ, right? He's the Messiah. That was Andrew's testimony in John 1:41. I found the Christ, the Messiah. That the whole Testament spoke about. But think in the wilderness. How many people, Pastor Ron's asked this many times, how many people do they estimate God redeemed and delivered out of Egypt? How many Israelites? 2 to 3 million. 2 to 3 million. How were they fed? From manna from heaven, huh? Exodus chapter 16, 14 and 15. And how many? Just 5,000? 2 to 3 million. God fed with bread. Bread from heaven, manna from heaven. Turn in your Bibles, real quick, to Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there you will not, that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly above and beyond all that we ask or think, so that there will even be basketfuls in the end of surplus. Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah. Think of Joseph. Go back a little bit further. That thing's making noise, Jace. Think of Genesis 41:55. Genesis 41:55. Where God fed all of Egypt. God fed all of Egypt through Joseph in the storehouse of grain. God fed all of Egypt. 5,000 men here. If only they had looked to Christ by faith. If only they had looked to Christ by faith. Here's another good reference. Psalm 145:15-16. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, 15 and 16. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, to God, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Think of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, right, the birds, they don't plant, right? They don't gather into barns, etc., right? They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. But what? Your Heavenly Father feeds them. Huh? If only they had looked to Christ by faith. Faith. Faith is resting in the object, Christ, and what Christ can do. So it moves us then to the next section, a glorious shepherd. A glorious shepherd, verses 38 to 41. But Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. Now, barley loaves, we know it was barley loaves based on John there, but they were hard, flat cakes of bread. And barley, I looked this up, it's kind of interesting. In 2014, it was the, of grains, it was the fourth largest harvested grain in the world. Wheat, rice, corn, and then barley. So it's one of the most ancient grains, meaning in ancient times, it goes back when humanity began farming, basically. Barley was one of the grains. They were barley loaves, we know, though, was food of the poor. Barley loaves food of the poor. Food of the poor. The fish were small fish, according to Andrew, probably dried or roasted, probably at that time. Think of this here with 1 Corinthians 1:28. For God has chosen the base things, the low things of the world, and the things which are despised. To what? To exalt his glory, to show his power, to show his greatness. What did Paul say, or what did God say to Paul? I should say it that way. What did God say to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9? When he had his thorn in the flesh, he asked 3 times for it to be removed, and God didn't. And he said, oh, God said, my strength is perfected in weakness. God's waiting for us to cry out and say, Lord, I can't. I need your help. I need you to do it. It's faith. Because faith begins when human ability ends. Now, it's interesting. Christ commanded that they all be sat down into groups, right? Isn't that interesting? He's orderly in all of this. And in ranks, in verse 40. So groups and ranks, right? Groups, ranks. Now the word, this is kind of interesting, that I found out there, the word in the Greek for ranks suggests a garden bed. This here in the Greek suggests a garden bed. A garden is something cultivated and tended. So he's laying out, in a sense, the people like a garden. Now Christ looked up to heaven, verse 41. He looked up to heaven. And it says he blessed and broke it. It says he thanked his Father. In John 6, 11. Christ did all to the glory of God, as we should too. We think of 1 Corinthians 10:31. Think of 1 Timothy 4. 4 and 5. That's why we pray before meals, right? Give thanks. Sanctify it with prayer and thanksgiving and the word of God. Christ is our example, as he did also before the Lord's Supper. So Christ broke the loaves and divided the fish. Verse 41, broke the loaves, which leads us then to a satisfied people, a satisfied people. Verses 42 to 44 says, so they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. 12 baskets full left over. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. So men plus women and children ate and were filled. Filled. They were satisfied. From what? From a poor boy's lunch. From a poor boy's lunch. As we said, 1 Corinthians 1:28, God has chosen the base things of the world and the things which are despised to show his glory. So after initially wanting to send the people away, the disciples were now learning to serve the people out of Christ's fullness, as Christ kept dividing and handing it to them to distribute and serve the people. There were leftovers that filled 12 baskets. Verse 43, God's supplies are overflowing. Turn over to John 6. John 6, look at verse 35. This is the next day. The next day. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The very next day, Christ would teach the people that their spiritual hunger could be satisfied completely in him by believing in him. Now think if you experienced the miracle of the feeding of 5,000 men, and the next day, after Jesus kept breaking the 5 barley loaves, and two fish of this poor boy's lunch and fed everyone till they were filled and satisfied with food left over in 12 baskets. And then Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. I think it's interesting. I'll say a couple things here. You know, I've been pondering this with the Lord's Supper. Ponder the bread. 1 Corinthians 11:23-24, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's not that any bones were broken. None of his bones were broken. But it's like breaking the bread of the poor boy's lunch so that any who come to him will be filled and satisfied spiritually. There is an overflow of Jesus for anyone who comes to him. In that sense, he's broken, and that's symbolized there that he satisfies us completely and fully with baskets left over. And in that sense, his body is broken for us. I think that's fascinating, because Jesus gave in John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life, the day after this miracle. That should be something in our minds at that time, thinking about this day and his body on the cross. And what the Lord's Supper means. Exactly. Exactly. Out of one person. That whoever believes in him shall be saved. You think of in this miracle, Jesus felt compassion upon them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, and much can be said on that. You know, Jesus had said to Peter in John 21:17, the third time, do you love me? Right? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. First Timothy 5:17. Feed my sheep. What are you being fed with? What are you being fed with? Pastor Ron's given this one. You heard this verse? Your words were found, and I did eat them, and they became for me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Right? God's words were found, and I did eat them. All in the Bible is Christ in all. We go to the Bible, and God's word tells us about Christ. 1 Timothy 5:17, about elders. Let elders who rule well be worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. You say, Pastor Ron said this, it's very unique at Grace Baptist Church. We want Bible studies on a regular basis. We want to feed the sheep. It is the greatest need of all of us. So that we are not weak and scattered sheep. Now ultimately, you know, First Peter 5:2, you know, we're to, the leaders in the church are to shepherd the flock of God. We're to be under shepherds because for all of us, the Lord is our shepherd. And what does it say? I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want. You think Mark 6:34, Jesus was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And we know from Luke, the kingdom of God was one of them. The primary thing we all need, all of us, is to be taught God's word, which is to be taught about Christ. What do the scriptures principally teach? What man is to believe about God and what duty God requires of man. What we are to believe about God and how we get right with God and that Jesus is the only way to God. John 14:6, right? Primary need for all of us, primary need of the church, the primary mission is to teach Christ, to teach God's word, so that our spiritual hunger would be satisfied in Christ. Secondarily is satisfying physical needs. Good, the best. And in Christ, we will be a satisfied people. In Christ, we will be a satisfied people. May God bless his word. Pastor Ron?